Hello, everybody, and welcome to the post show for Nebula Jazz, episode number 15. Pocket is not with us for the post show because she knew that this would just be everybody throwing shade at her, so she ran off. No, that's not true. She had stuff to attend to. We decided to continue. So let's.
She didn't do anything wrong.
Bad today. That's fine. She was good.
Can we talk about Pocket, though? Look, she's not here, but I'm going to talk about her anyway. And I can talk about her because I get weird when I have to, like, look at people when I talk about them. So I'm going to say this. Watching Pocket with this show specifically has been fascinating. And I'm sure you guys picked up on this too. Probably as a GM you saw this. And you probably worked with her on this too. But in the past, if she's picked a character, she's stuck with that character. And I think for this show, she picked a character and an archetype and abilities and stuff that at the beginning she didn't like. And you could tell she was kind of like hamstrung by what she could and couldn't do. And so, I don't know what she changed with you on your end, but you can tell she's having a lot more fun being a little crazier and having a little more leeway and not relying on, like, having a dog do everything. And it's interesting to see her character. I mean, like, in the game, it's clearly a crazy arc. But as a player, watching her enjoy what she's doing a whole bunch more is really entertaining. Because you're like, ah, that's kind of cool with this game in particular, where you're like, fuck it, I'm going to change stuff up a little bit.
I feel like the format of this show where it lets all the players be a DM somewhat has, like, helped her get a lot of confidence in her role-playing. And then now she's... Because her, like, her Westmarch's character was kind of similar to the initial Aurora. Like, she was very much, like, she was almost, like, nervous to be center stage. Whereas now she's, like... blossomed, and even though the center of that flare is like a crazy lady, she's she's about it, and it's fun. It's really fun.
So cool. And she was given the opportunity to do it too, because it's like she from the get go, she's a character who thinks she's something she's not, right?
Yes.
So it's all able to be rooted in this sort of
what's sort of fucked up about it is like cool. So I'm learning who I really am, and that's a scary murder machine. Like, I'll just do whatever I want. Like, it's like I used to be a nice robot lady, and now I'm a horrible murder type person.
What I think it is to compare Quinn and Rex. And
she's for anybody watching this who also watched Swan Song, she's Pi in that. Is that she's like learning who she is by hanging around with horrible people and becoming horrible as a result. But I think. From a like role-playing game perspective, the two kind of big things that are happening here are that, one, you never make the character that you want to be when you start. You don't at character creation, don't make the character you want to play. Make the character that will grow into the one you want to play. Because if you make a character and he's already exactly who you want to be, you'll never change. You're like, cool, nope, I'm just happy being the way I am. And you'll never change, right? Like, Sam, for you, like, the interesting thing about Galahan was watching him change as you played him more and more, right? And so you make these characters and you learn who they are by playing them, which I think is definitely a factor that's happening here too. And then also I think that as people learn kind of their way around a character or a campaign, there is that period. JP and I were talking about this the other day. There's that period of kind of experimentation where you're like, what if I did this? How would the rest of the group feel? And what kind of reaction would I get? And in a lot of ways, we're all grown-ups, but playing characters is like putting yourself into a position of being someone who's not fully formed yet, and you're trying out your boundaries. You're being like, what if I do this crazy thing? What's everybody going to do? Okay, everybody like reacted negatively. I'll back off on that. Let's try this other thing. And so you're experimenting in the same way that like a kid does, trying to figure out who they are. Because that's ultimately what we're doing as we play these characters. So yeah, there's definitely been for all of the characters, there's been at least a little of that. And for me as a GM, that's really fun to watch and to provide kind of synthesis for that. To be like, okay, cool. What if I put this NPC in the game? How would you react to them? So that's for me. That's been super cool.
It's also potentially very interesting that, and even though we will sit here and be like, our characters aren't bad people, we're terrible influences. We're the worst possible influences. And to see the fact that she is possibly the last, except for Dave, who is Dave, she's the last human, it's kind of interesting that to the galaxy, she's a terrible person. So it's like, no wonder you got rid of the humans.
Right.
Like, they were awful people.
Right.
So it all, like, flows very well.
That's a good, it's cool. A good observation for sure. Well, and I think also we've talked a little bit about humans in this universe as being kind of universal imprinters, right? So like the Mingasi hybrid is a Mingasi human hybrid because humans can take anything in the universe and incorporate it into themselves. And so we're seeing this human, despite the fact that she was literally raised, programmed by robots, she's like, her programming is coming apart and she's just picking up the things that are around her.
Humanity's greatest ability is imitation, right? So
yes, yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, right? We're sort of teaching the people who are watching the show.
She's in a terrible environment as well to imitate. Yes. Because
literally
I have an ability where once per session I dismember a man and eat him. That's just an ability I have. That's not.
I would like to call all of us out on something right now. That when we were originally putting together this game, we were like, we should make a game that's in space. And you know how so many of these fucking space shows make it so that humans are so important.
Right.
We should really make one where, like, yeah, one of us is a human and it's not like a big deal. Like, there aren't really that many humans anyway. They don't matter. And in the end, the fact that they're not that there aren't that many humans wound up being super important to the whole story.
Well, that's Pocket's fault. Because we decided there weren't going to be any humans.
That's Pocket's fault.
Because not in a bad way, but we decided there weren't going to be any humans. And then Pocket was like, I'm going to be a human.
No, but
and then the way this is happening is we're all having an arc where, like, we get awesome. And so this is Pocket's arc.
That's invariable, though. Like, I've never played a role-playing game where someone in the group doesn't respond to, like, I'm like, all right, everybody. So the premise of this game is you're all mage hunters and magic is illegal and you're all like, we're gonna play like a detective story kind of fantasy thing where you hunt down wizards and someone's like, I'm secretly a wizard, and you're like,
right. Yeah.
Like, there's always one of those, and that's okay. I think you can roll with it. I think to your point, Dodger, like, yeah, like we've made, I don't think that we can tell a story in which there are humans where humans aren't important because we are them. Like, I think that's just a failing of being a human being. But also I think that it's not that they're like the super secret weapon that will save or protect the universe. They're important because there's so few of them, in the same way that pandas are important. Like, a panda is not going to be elected president and save the world.
Don't say that, Adam.
However,
well, have you started?
However, pandas are important because there's so few of them, right? Like, I think that Aurora is important in the way that any endangered species is that she's a limited resource. And so that's what's making her significant, and humanity by her expression.
Her importance doesn't come from the fact that she's the last human. Her importance comes from the fact that the Alaxatronians are like, she's important. But we don't know that it's because she's a human. We just know that they think she's important for some reason.
It's highly possible that her penchant for what do we call it now? Synthomagy. That her ability to use the Synthomagy powers comes from her being human, but that's not maybe necessarily why she's so important. But that is a good point. Yeah, and it's cool to be able to recognize that. Mm. Yeah. I'm digging it. I really like, this was a great episode. I felt great about the pacing of it.
Felt
really good to me. I had a really good time. Well, any other thoughts on the episode or where the show's going? Thoughts for the future?
Soon we're going to meet up, which will be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like,
maybe, I don't know.
I don't know.
So I have a thought as far as future stuff goes. I want to ask Jesse about this. Who do you think that is giving Slipknot these orders? It's someone important.
Here's the thing. If it's a hand, that's all we know. It sounded like a male voice.
Was a robot hand. That's true.
I mean, if it is in fact Grandpa, whatever Aurora's grandfather's name was, Tiger Claw, whatever the fuck his name, whatever that guy's name was.
Saber. Yep.
Saber's close enough. That's cool. Here's the inherent problem. We have pissed off so many people going down the line.
Yeah.
And I also today, I messaged you, Adam, about this as well.
Yep.
When the princess was talking, and she was like, yeah, I haven't left my ship in 10 years, and I don't know this. Did we not find a photo of her, like, at a horse race or something? Like,
Sorry, go ahead.
Is that not her?
I was going to say, yeah, when we first started playing this game, the reason that we knew she existed is because there were paparazzi being like, ooh, is the prince dating a Mengasi lady? Who is right. she? And we were like, maybe it's his sister, lol. And then...
I feel like she's not telling us everything, which is why I'm still very wary of her. But it could just be, you know, maybe that was the first time she was off the ship. Like, I just don't know. And so there's so... We've angered so many people. We have so many enemies that it literally could be anyone at this
point. Also, it's this, like, situation where it's like, I want to be mad at Quinn, and I want to be mad at Eugene, and I want to be mad at Aurora. But, like, there's so much shit going on that I can't be mad at them because we're all each other has.
Yeah.
Like, well, and
couldn't pop off at Aurora because I was immediately put in a situation where it was me and Aurora against like the Mengasi guard, or we go to jail. And I'm like, fuck, I have to cooperate.
We're a very unhealthy family. We're not.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we're very toxic, but we need each other.
Yeah,
I like that. I like that about it. I think it's working great. I think that's part of the appeal, right? Where we're just like, yep, okay, cool. So you're all just you get what you deserve, and that's each other.
I like the idea that, like, Eugene has, like, rebelled from the norm of being a slime, and Quinn has rebelled from the norm of being a lizard man, and Rex has rebelled from the norm of being a sharkanoid, and now we have Aurora, who's rebelled from the norm of being whatever she was before. So, like, she's completed the square, you know?
Yeah.
So now we're all just a bunch of rebels.
Space rebels.
Well,
I am actively trying to kill less. I've been trying to do that, though. I will say that.
Cool.
I intended on putting those four guards in that cage without killing them, and they got ripped to shreds by rabbits.
And they got fucked up by bunnies. Yeah.
Well, the ones in the cage survived. Those ones are still on the ship. They're still your prisoners.
I don't know. He put straight up just body parts in that cage. I remember.
No, there were just body parts all over the floor from the other guards. But I didn't intend on killing any guards. I wanted to like capture them all.
When you give up your ability to eat a person whole, then I say your square is complete. When you're just like, I'm a vegetarian shark.
I was about to say, there's the vegan arc for.
Yeah. Oh my god. Now he's like, I only eat vegetables whole.
That can't happen though.
It can.
No, because I know I wouldn't be able to do that in real life. So, being true to myself, I can never be a vegan sharkanoid. I'm sorry, okay. Jesse.
I mean, in future episodes, maybe I'll introduce like a splinter heretic cell of sharkanoids who are vegan.
Oh my god, yeah. They've been cast out.
The Sharkanoid Civil War involves vegans.
Yeah. Jeez. Too real.
Yeah.
We're covering real topics.
Well, what's great is that there's a literal actual star called Vega, and people from Vega would be vegans. So we're
uh-huh. there could be sharkanoids on the planet. Yeah.
Yeah, from Vega. Yeah. Cool. Well, good work, everybody. I've said it before. I'll say it again. This is the show that teaches me to just say yes to everything, and it has not steered me wrong. I hope everybody enjoyed today's episode.
As always.
Thanks for coming, y'all, and we'll see everybody next time.
Yeah, bye, Patreon.
Bye, everybody.
That was Pocket. She said bye.
Okay. Oh, bye. Yeah, bye, Pocket. Pocket's here.